great message in that song. In whom we have redemption. Verse 8. Wherein he hath abounded toward in all wisdom and prudence. I said to you when we talked about that verse that God's little children don't need to be stupid. You don't need to be ignorant. You should not allow the world to make you or class you as stupid. Brother Gary said a moment ago, we're not crazy. Oh, no. No, no, no. We may be a little loose in the head, but there's one thing about an old preacher friend of mine said, we're screwed to the right bolt. We belong to him. So if we're nuts, we're screwed to the right bolt. We belong to Jesus Christ. And he gives us wisdom, imparts to us wisdom along the way. I'd like to spend the night there as well. Verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will. I wonder how many times down through these years, Brother Gary, the same things happened to you and many of you. People have come to you and said, how can I know the will of God? You know the will of God because he imparts to you the mystery of his will. You see, if he imparts it to you, it is no longer a mystery. It's a mystery beforehand. But when he imparts to you his will, now it's not a mystery in your life. It may be a mystery to a multitude of others, but it's not a mystery to you. We were pastoring in Florida. A young lady came to me one time. She was the daughter of a very prominent doctor, medical doctor, in Fernandina Beach, Amelia Island. And she said, Brother Larry, God has called me to the mission field. And she said, my mama and my daddy don't understand that. I said, well, do you expect them to? She said, not really. But I would like for them to accept that this is the will of God for my life. I said, let me ask you the question. Are you assured that this is the will of God for your life? She said, yes, sir. I said, then you must do it. Whether mom and dad approve or not, you must do it. It's more important to do the will of God. When God reveals the mystery to you as to what your place is in the household of faith, then we must do that. No matter who agrees. At least two preacher friends of mine down through the years. God called them to preach. Their wife said, not me. God didn't call me. One of them went along and did the will of God. The other tried to keep his marriage together. By the way, the one that went on and did the will of God, she hung out there for about 2 years, got saved by the grace of God, and came home to daddy and the youngins. How about that? It's all right. The other one labored through his lifetime, trying to keep his marriage together and keep his wife satisfied and still do the will of God. And she was constantly a thorn in his side. Never accomplished anything to this day for the glory of God. I'm telling you, it's more important to do the will of God. God will fix all these fragments of our lives if we'll just do the will of God. The will of God for my life is not the will of God for you and your life. God knows what I must do. God knows what you must do. And he's revealed to you what you are to do. It is no mystery to you. If someone says to you, I don't know what the will of God is for my life, then just know that God hadn't revealed it to them yet, or else they're lying through their teeth. And they're just not going to do it. They're rebelling. It is never the will of God for you to rebel against him. Never. It is the will of God for you to be obedient and do what God says to do. As I've said so often, it's never wrong to do right. Always do right. It'll always be the will of God when you do right. Verse number 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Wonder what daddy's going to leave me when he dies. Probably debt. The greatest inheritance any man, woman, boy, or girl could ever have is the inheritance that God has given us. We have obtained this inheritance, not as though we earned it, but out of mercy and grace, God has presented to you and to me an inheritance. We do not deserve that inheritance, but because we're children. Let me go a step further. Because we're firstborn children. Excuse me. According to the Old Testament economy, the firstborn son gets a double portion. Is that right? You firstborn sons. We are the church of the firstborn. God looks upon us in Christ as His only begotten. Think about that for a moment. Now, we're not His only begotten outside, but once we're in Christ, we are His only begotten because He sees us as Christ. Well, if that weren't so, we'd all perish, wouldn't we? In Christ. Boy, what a blessing. And what a curse that religious systems around this world that call themselves Christians deny that truth. You're in Christ. Christ is in you. Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In John 17, time and time again, Jesus refers to the fact that we're in Him. And we are. So now in Him we have the inheritance. We are firstborn. We are double blessed. How about that? I don't know how I can handle it, do you? I mean, blessed as we are, yet there's a double blessing coming in front of us. We've obtained this inheritance. We'll someday come back to that thought. Verse number 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. We to the praise of His glory. I want to say this to you again. I want you to understand this. Please pick this up. As a child of God, you need to know that God saved you for His glory, not for yours. Let me say it again. As a child of God, God saved you for His glory, not for yours. So often, hey, God didn't save you to make you popular. God didn't save you to make you something in this world. God saved you to make you something in the other world. He saved you for His glory. So often we try to steal that glory. I've said for 50 years that the sin of the modern church is stealing the glory of God. Now you think about that. The sin of the modern church is stealing the glory of God. We're robbing God of His glory. God's people sit on their hands rather than raise them and give Him praise. They'll sit there and pout rather than shout. Rather than rejoice, we'd rather do anything. Keep our minds occupied otherwise. God deserves glory. By the way, He'll get it. If the stones have to cry out, He'll get it. I don't want the stones to cry out in my presence. No, I want my voice to cry out. Are you aware of what shame it would be if God got glory from the chairs in this place rather than the people in the chair? Are you with me? God saved us for His glory. His praise. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, whom ye and ye again, twice in that verse, the further on, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We'll come back to that in a few moments. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Now, he's already told us we have an inheritance. Now, he said, here is the promise that that inheritance is going to come to pass. And what did he give us to prove that the inheritance is before us? The Holy Ghost. The good Holy Ghost of God. Here is that seal of approval. Here is that seal that says to us, hey, there's something better waiting you. The child of God should never be downhearted, never be long-faced, because the reality is that the seal of His Spirit is upon us and within us, and therefore we know there's a better day coming. I'd hate to know that this is the best there was. And I've had people look me in the eyeball and say that. Oh, Brother Larry, you ought to know that this is the best there is. This is heaven. Well, if this is heaven, what's hell going to be like? Yes, sir. I'm sorry, this is not it. This is not it. It doesn't measure up. Read the description in the book of the Revelation. It does not measure up. The street out here is asphalt and concrete. That's not gold. You might think it is if you have to pay for it, but it's not gold. Thank God for the earnest of the Spirit. It says to us, by the way, the word earnest means down payment. And here's the thing. God has made a deal. This deal was made before you ever came to pass. This deal was made between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, before God made worlds. And the deal was that Jesus would die to redeem and ransom His people. And God would save those whom He redeemed. Are you hearing me? And the Holy Ghost would seal them until the day of that uncapping, so to speak, that day of redemption when the cap comes off and the church goes home to glory. God seals us with that Spirit. And that is the earnest, the down payment, that God's going to finish the task. And He'll finish it. And you know why I know He'll finish it? Because He's God. Because He's God. The Holy Ghost assures us that God will finish what He started to do. Verse number 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I wonder about folks that have no desire to learn more about Him. I wonder about folks that'll stick their face into all of this garbage of the world and fill their minds with that and have no desire to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God reveals to us line upon line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. God reveals things to us. You don't get it all at one burst. You couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle it. I think back to the day that God called me to preach. I thought I might know something. I look back today and I think how ignorant I was. And how patient folks must have been to sit there and listen. As a matter of fact, I wonder about that even today. Why would you sit and listen? Prayerfully, God's put a desire in your heart to know more about Him. God is revealing that process of revelation. Don't you ever think that it all comes in a moment, but it comes a little bit at a time. as we expose ourselves to the things of God. Is there anyone here that can remember something you learned back in the card class? Now, I'm dating myself a little bit, but how many of you remember the card classes? Okay. Now, to you that are ignorant of this, let me inform you. Years ago, in our Southern Baptist churches, we had a little card about the size of one page of my Bible, folded open, made four pages, and that it'd have a picture on the front side of the something to reveal the story that was inside. And it was always a Bible story. And we'd open that, and the teacher would, like most teachers of that day and time, and like most teachers of our day and time, stand down and read it for the first time in their life to a class of children. I remember, Brother Gary, we sat in the floor in the card class, and the teacher would stand there or sit in a chair and read to us these little stories from the card. The card class. You ever do you remember anything you learned in the card class? I do. I do. Hallelujah. I remember things that God taught me along the way, just little by little, precept upon precept, here little, there little, building, 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 building. We don't get it all at the moment. We get it as God reveals it to us. And God knows how much we can take, doesn't He? But God also knows if we're not applying ourselves and trying to learn. God reveals Himself to us. Thank God He does. I'm grateful to God that He does. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Remember what I told you a few moments ago? He gets the glory from your salvation. Yes. Are you getting a hold of that? Did you read what that verse just said? The latter part of that verse, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. See, we have an inheritance. He has an inheritance. He is our inheritance and we are His inheritance. Well, glory. He gets glory out of us. And we glory in Him. This is just a big glory party. The saint of God's life ought to be a big glory party. And every once in a while you ought to say out loud, glory! Just to see if you can say it in public. Really? You ought to say hallelujah once in a while just to see if you can say it in public. Try out some of those words every once in a while when God kind of blesses you a little bit, stirs you a little bit. Just say, well, glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, well, preacher, I don't want them to mark me. Well, you're already marked. You're in the wrong place. Somebody knows you're here. Verse 19. And was exceeding greatness of His power to us. Lord, I love this verse. Let me just a minute, let me park and back up a second. This thing of the power of God. Now think about what I'm saying to you. The power of God. Where on earth is the power of God revealed more so than anywhere else? Think about that for a moment. Let's see if we all come to the same conclusion. When He brought Jesus out of the grave. The power of God shook the earth, did it not? The power of God broke the seal of the Roman government, stunned the guards, and caused the church to shout, and we're still shouting. Several times when we were teaching preachers especially in the seminary, we'd take our junior and senior students to Israel, to the Holy Land. The first time I went to the Holy Land, I tell you, I was like a baby with a sucker. I just eating it up, just every little thing, every little thing. We went to that garden tomb, and the guide was telling us a bit about it. I just kind of got off from everybody else and walked inside. I looked around. Now, I knew before I went in there, he wasn't there. But I got to thinking of the power of God that shook the earth that day and caused that stone to roll away. I disturbed the whole party. I got to shouting and rejoicing. Next thing I knew, the whole outfit was shouting and rejoicing. I mean, having a time. Just broke loose right there in that garden. I don't think there was one person out of the 40-some that were with us that day that wasn't shouting. One way or the other. So from then on, every time I would take the tour and take them to the garden tomb, I'd just kind of get away from the tomb myself. And I'd tell them about it and then let them walk inside. One lady came out of there one day shouting, I'm telling you, she's having a time of her life. And after it was all over, she said, I went in there and I heard somebody shouting and rejoicing. And she said, when I came out, I realized there wasn't nobody in there but me. Now listen to me. I want to tell you, I want you to get a hold of this. The power of God that brought Jesus Christ out of that grave that day. And when this word was put in our Bibles, it's the word is koshish. It equates to our word dynamos or dynamite. If that word were translated today, it'd be more like nuclear because it is the most forceful of all powers. That's what it means. And that's what the power of God is. The power of God is the most forceful of all powers. By the way, 17 times the word are used in this text that I've read to you that refer to us. 17 is a combination of 10 and 7. 10 is God's number for divine completion. 7 is God's number for, or 7 is the number for divine completion. 10 is the number for ordinal completion. So here is a perfect number. Ordinal perfection and spiritual or divine perfection together. In this chapter, God lets us know that this is divinely perfected on our behalf. The devil can't even deny this. It's so perfected. But the power of God, we need every day and more so every day that we live. Now, we're not going to see the dynamos. We're not going to see the ekleos. We're not going to get there. We don't need that because God's taking care of that. But we need the power to fight the battles we have to fight. And the Holy Ghost has assured us that we have that. The Holy Ghost has promised us in this chapter that we have that power to fight the battles we have to fight every day of our lives. Now, I don't know what we're going to face tomorrow. None of us do. But there's one thing we can be sure of. God has given us the power to overcome. He overcame death, hell, and the grave on our behalf. And He's given us the power to do the same. All the power you need is available. We were building airplanes, and I'd built two others for other people, and it came time for me to build my own. I ordered a Dart aluminum rocket Oldsmobile engine. Ordered the block. Got the pistons I needed. The rings I needed. Got the cam I wanted. had it ground to deliver torque with the RPM rather than the other way around. Put the crank in it I wanted, bearings. Put it all together. Somebody said, why do you want to put that much power on that airplane? I said, since I left Uncle Sam, I've never pushed a throttle forward on an airplane and felt like I had enough power to get off the runway. When I push that throttle forward, I want to know something's pushing me out of here. Are you listening to me? That thing is so powerful that I cannot add full power sitting still. Got to be rolling and bring it on slowly. But when you push the throttle forward, there's power. Are you listening to me? Now listen carefully. You're in the battle of a lifetime. I don't know what it is, but we're there. Let me challenge you to realize there is enough power. There is enough power. And you can feel that power if you just call on Him. Remember the old days when we used to say, when we wanted more power, we're calling on it. We're calling on it. Well, that's what we need to do with Him. Just call on power. Oh, God, send the power just now. Oh, God, send the power just now. And hang on and watch God deliver. He's promised it. By the power of the Holy Ghost, He's promised us it'll be so. Amen. Father, I'm glad for another Lord's Day. I'm grateful that You let us be here tonight. Thankful for Your people. Thankful for Your Word. Most thankful for the good Holy Ghost. Even more thankful for the Lord Jesus. Thank You for making a way. And thank You once again that we've been able to stand and declare this good book. Now I pray it's not followed.